I'm Lloyd Pumphrey, and I speak for Stop Hinkley, whose remit is to hold EDF to account over the building of Hinkley Point C and also the decommissioning of the no longer working Hinkley Point B and Hinkley Point A nuclear power stations.
So EDF is the French nationalised company. Isn't there some Chinese money involved as well with Hinkley C?
Yes, Hinkley C, when they started, the funding consisted of two thirds the French government and one third the Chinese government. And we've now reached a point where the budget, they're so far over the budget that the Chinese, who were only interested in funding Hinkley so they could build their own nuclear power station, which they've been turned back on, have said, no, we're not putting any more money in than we said we were going to. So they are stuck at a third of the original estimate, and EDF will have to find all the overrun or come looking for handouts from the British government as their solution to their problem.
Now, I seem to remember the original announcement for Hinkley was 25 billion it was going to cost. We're now up to 50 billion, so costs have doubled and we haven't actually had any electricity out of it yet.
No, absolutely. Well, and I shouldn't be laughing because it is a chronic waste of vast sums of money. And the whole thing is made even more absurd by the fact that whilst the government will say that no government money has gone into Hinkley C and the constructor is taking all the risk, that's not true for what's happening on the other side of the country in Suffolk, where we've already thrown more than the government was hoping to save from cutting winter fuel allowances. But more than that, over 5 billion has been thrown at another example of this particular model of nuclear power station in Suffolk, which won't go anywhere unless our government agrees to fund most of the work as it goes along.
What's the current estimate with Hinkley C? Do you think it will be delivering power sometime soon?
No. I think 2031 is a gloriously optimistic date for delivery. It's made worse because, of course, we're fed information here locally by some very dewy-eyed and enthusiastic local people. And it must come as a shock to them when virtually every year Harris turns around and tells them that whatever they think, the EDF headquarters can't see it being done in anything like the time that they're talking about. And they don't talk much about the cost, but clearly the time and the cost are forever escalating. And the only date to bear in mind is that they have an extension on the date by which it must be working to qualify for the eye-watering amount we will have to pay 24/7 for Hinkley C electricity, as the date has been extended for that until 2036. So that gives you some idea of the lack of confidence in having it built by 2031.
These things seem to take far too long to build. I think it was 2016 it was originally commissioned. I may be wrong.
Well, the when the Labour government announced that a nuclear reactor building program was going to restart back in 2000 or 2000, 2007 or 2008, the then head of Electricity of France said, oh, that's great. We'll have one up and running at Hinkley Point by 2017. Well, they barely got started. As you rightly say, they barely got started by 2017. For a long while, they were promising 2025. And as I've said, I'll be amazed if they are able to meet their current deadline date of 2031.
Well, look, obviously there are problems with building these gigantic reactors, as particularly, I mean, it's 2013 were the initial talks with EDF about the possibility of building Hinkley C. And so that's we're talking about, you know, coming on for 20 years before it's actually delivering any power.
Yes.
If indeed it ever does, because similar reactors have been extremely problematic in other parts of the world, including in China. They've had to shut one down almost as soon as it was started up. So there is a sort of plan B going on, which has been floated this week very loudly by the Prime Minister, which is these small modular reactors. Now, we're talking here about the size of several acres, that they will be built off-site and just kind of brought by lorries and put up on-site. And then you'll have a nuclear reactor generating electricity for the local community within just a few years, we're being told. And this is a much smaller scale thing than this massive Hinkley C project.
It would be nice if there was an example of a working model of a small modular reactor that anyone could turn to and say, this looks good, we must have one, because there isn't. This is all still absolute pipe dream stuff. There's nowhere in the world has anyone got one of these working that offers any hope for a small modular reactor coming on stream anywhere, anytime soon.
Yeah, but the principle's surely there. If it's something that can be prefabricated, brought to the to a site where there's, it obviously will need quite a lot of water, so it would need to be quite either next to a big river or next to the sea. I mean, that's no reason why this idea shouldn't work.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that Rolls-Royce have such faith in what they might do that they've demanded from the government that they have all the funding for the development and the research and a contract for the first, I think it's 30 of them, before they will lift a finger to actually do anything themselves. I mean, if you haven't got that much confidence in the work you're about to do, it doesn't say a lot for the likelihood of it actually coming to fruition.
No, I mean, it's actually in a way similar to the announcement about Hinkley C, in that this seems to be more like a kind of pipe dream press release rather than any kind of concrete plans, particularly because these things obviously need to be tested, run and proven before any kind of, before they can start contributing to the grid.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And how thrilled are people going to be with having a small nuclear power station in their back garden? I mean, let's make, you know, Bristol has an area of land that seems to be struggling to have something done on it at Temple Meads. Well, wouldn't that be a handy place to put a small modular reactor? Now, if you floated that idea, I guarantee there would be uproar in the city of Bristol.
Well, I think the idea is to put these things out in the middle of the nowhere in the countryside in what is actually, you know, now would be considered greenbelt land. But these plans are in the process of being torn up, the planning restrictions. And also, of course, we've got at the same time this family farm tax is causing a lot of trouble amongst farmers, already up against it with the against the supermarkets, being told that maybe there's going to be no business there for their kids. They're likely to want to sell up if someone comes along and says, hey, why don't you sell your farm, we can put a small modular reactor here.
Well, who knows, if you offer people enough money, they will, you know, sell land for all sorts of reasons. But you know, the fact remains that it's as I said, the small modular reactor, currently, there is no working example anywhere, and Rolls-Royce don't appear to be prepared to do anything until they get paid up front, not just for a prototype and development work, but a contract for a whole lot of them before they'll lift a finger.
So just imagining that this is a viable design, what would be the main parts of a reactor? What do we need? Obviously, we've got to have a reactor itself with a pressure vessel to contain it, some containment in case things go wrong. But what are the other things that a reactor needs to work?
Well, you've got to have a lot of this will still require vast amounts of cooling water or a tower, a cooling tower to cool the reactor. And you will still have to have all the things like the turbine hall, a small version of that. You will have to have a good grid connection. So there'll be a substation and pylons to and cable to get electricity to wherever it's then going to get distributed and into people's homes, do something useful. It's going to require duplication of a complicated process. It will also require, I imagine, that the regulator will have to give its seal of approval to the design in the first instance, but then each individual site will have to meet Office of Nuclear Regulation ground rules for health and safety and being in a sensible place to be, and guarantee of the cooling water supply is going to be a major part of that.
Do you think this will ever happen?
No, I don't. I think the other ways in which electricity can be generated are much cheaper, quicker, and simpler to build. And I think this is not a good way to be going forward. And I notice again, the government promotes the idea that there are thousands of skilled jobs with this. There are a variety of jobs, some more skilled, some less skilled, in building a nuclear power station, as we're seeing here at Hinkley. And the whole point about that none of them last a considerable period of time. The number of people, there are only a few people working at Hinkley Point C now who were there when it started. And the majority, it's a moving feast. People come and go. And the information I have is that because of working conditions, the actual turnover in workers at the site is also quite enormous. So it's not like the battery factory that's also going to happen just outside Bridgewater for electric car batteries, which is a much more predictable, stable and permanent employment for people compared to building a nuclear power station, because it takes precious few people to actually operate one.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you've already sort of broached on this a little bit about the energy mix in Britain. Without functioning Hinkley C, and without this, these almost instant, they try to sell us this idea that this can be done very quickly, small modular reactors. Where are we going to get the actual base load of electricity? Because there isn't really any kind of functioning proper way of storing electricity yet. And we're becoming increasingly reliant on wind power and solar power, which, of course, go up and down with the weather forecast. So we obviously need something which will deliver energy, will deliver electricity. Or do you think we'll end up like South Africa, which at the moment is, in fact, for the last couple of years, has been suffering periodic power outages?
Well, we have connection with the continent, so we do have a buffer against adverse conditions. So electricity comes and goes to our continental neighbours. I expect that to continue. Clearly, because this has been the situation has been allowed to reach the state it's got to, then sadly it remains the case that gas-fired power stations are going to continue to be a stopgap when things aren't going. Clearly, this is very far from ideal, but there's no nuclear power station going to leap into the the breach, because leaping into breaches is the one thing we can be absolutely certain that nuclear power won't do. Nuclear power will take ages to climb very, very slowly and possibly not even get into the breach that we're hoping can be filled, so we do all get electricity as and when we want it.
Yeah, just running through the projected sites for the small modular reactors, Barkley, which is here on the Severn Estuary, just north of Bristol, sort of Gloucester direction. Bradwell, which is over in Suffolk, I think, is it? Norfolk, Essex, Suffolk border.
The Bradwell people put out a press release today, and their view is that because the 8 sites for potential new modular reactors are now, that's all been torn up and they can go anywhere, that in fact amounts to a delisting for places like Bradwell and Barkley. So whilst they might appear to be, they have some merit, then if people, as you say, come up with a piece of land that does meet the regulators' requirements, then they could pop up anywhere. I think that appears to me to be the purpose of the Prime Minister's speech, is to raise that possibility. But it strikes me that it's just all so problematic, Tony.
Well, look, this is a list which has been trotted out today by someone called Dr. Simon Harrison, who's a member of the government's new advisory committee on hitting its net zero target. So he's not necessarily a nuclear expert. So there's also Chapel Cross site in Dumfriesshire, which is on the site of an old World War II airfield, which shut in 2004. Dungeness A in Kent. Harwell, which is another old RAF station, which is Britain's old atomic energy research establishment. Hinkley A. So that's what they're thinking of doing with Hinkley A. Doesn't that actually make sense to sort of reuse this site in Hinkley?
Yeah, but if anything can be shown to be worthwhile, then I'm sure it's attractive to planners and regulators to use sites that have had nuclear power stations or other nuclear activity on them before in the future. But they'll have to do an awful lot of remedial work at Hinkley A to make the site fit to take a new, even if it's just a small modular reactor. I don't think they decommissioned Hinkley A with the aim of making it a suitable site for a following on nuclear power station. So there will be lots of dark and unpleasant places there that will have to be put right before they can do anything new there, surely.
Well, I would have thought so. I mean, Hinkley A, surely the whole idea there was to completely seal the whole entire site over with concrete. And so they would have to build this kind of up in the air somewhere.
Well, and then, you know, I don't think this is going anywhere, Tony. I don't know whether this is just part of a sort of boostery period in the Prime Minister's speech making, but it's there's lots of top level politicians running around saying the most unlikely things at the moment. I hope this isn't a bandwagon that our government's just jumped onto.
Well, and also it's interesting that they've used somebody that isn't actually a nuclear expert to choose which sites these are supposedly going to go on. So, we've got Hunterston A, Oldbury, Sizewell A and Trasfinnid. Those are the sites that he's listed. But it sounds to me like that's a sort of back of a fag packet kind of list that's been put out today. So finally, if people are interested in Stop Hinkley and Hinkley C, what's the best place for people to find you, follow the campaign, etc.?
Right. OK, we have a Facebook page and we have our website remains regularly updated. For instance, this acoustic fish deterrent, which we think is an essential part of Hinkley C if it ever starts drawing in seawater, an essential part of preserving and protecting what fish remain in the Severn Estuary. So we're campaigning, and other organisations have also cottoned on, and there's a petition that can be signed that says that retaining, and it's not our idea, this is EDF's own idea, was to have the acoustic fish deterrent, and they just turned around and said, oh no, we want to drop that. We've got these other non-fish saving but good for nature ideas, but the fish will have to suffer because we want to drop the acoustic fish deterrent. But there's a petition online that you can sign if you go to our website, and that would be a real boost, because the ideas that EDF have got as replacements for the acoustic fish deterrent do nothing to help the declining population of fish in the Severn Estuary from declining even further.
Yeah, it sounds like a very kind of spatchcock solution, this idea of having some kind of loudspeaker under the water to try and scare the fish away so they don't get sucked in to the nuclear power station.
They do work. There are plenty of them about the place, not on nuclear power stations necessarily, but in other places where they want to keep fish away from going into places where water's being drawn in. They are there, and there's one in Wales and that I know about, but they're Pembroke Docks, I think, is the place where that is. But they are out there. And what's more, the people who manufacture them make the point that none of the arguments that EDF uses for getting rid of them have any real basis, that the argument doesn't hold water.
Yeah, very funny. Doesn't hold water. Very funny. Well, look, the final thing to do with Hinckley, I mean, it's one of those kind of elephants in the room, really, in that we know how massively expensive, massively damaging the waste from the nuclear power station is, the links to the nuclear weapons industry, which is almost sort of set aside, and it's, you know, almost kind of taboo, really. But at where Hinckley is, the Bristol Channel, we have one of the highest tidal ranges in the entire world there, where you've got an absolutely brilliant opportunity for an underwater kind of tidal power system, which has been talked about even in the Victorian era. They were talking about having a barrage across the River Severn and turning that into a kind of hydro power station. Why has this just simply never happened?
I don't know. I think because some of the solutions, some of the things that have been put forward are in themselves big projects. Why there cannot be to all intents and purposes, is an underwater wind turbine down out of reach of vessels on the surface and minimal interference with the wildlife and the local habitat. Why there can't be underwater, the equivalent of an offshore wind farm generating electricity, is beyond me. But that development work is there, and some of it does work, but there doesn't seem to be the will or the funding to take it forward. Whereas, as I said earlier, government felt had no qualms about throwing another $5.5 billion at a carbon copy of Hinckley C, which has, you know, which may again not actually get even further than its development stage, and will just put the potential for it working way away into the future.
Yes, I remember chatting to John Large before he died. He said he's a nuclear engineer who was one of the people that helped design the Magnox stations, and he said he didn't think that Hinckley would ever be finished. He said actually most of the money was going to be made on the building contract, and once it was that money was made, they didn't really care whether it worked or not. So this is a rather, you know, it's almost like kind of disaster capitalism. But I would advise anyone that's crossing the old Severn Bridge, because you can slow down, you can see quite a lot there, or walking or cycling over the old Severn Bridge, and you stop halfway and you look down and you look at the that massive surge of water, depending on the tide, rushing both one way or the other way, you think this is criminal, that this energy is just being frittered away whilst on the horizon there's this massive, massive development which may never even produce any electricity.
I think that's the argument in a nutshell, Tony.
Anyway, Roy Pomfrey from Stop Hinkley, thanks very much for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tony.
Right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, cheerio, Roy. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.